Right. Do you remember chapter 1? If not, maybe we can't go over the whole thing. Maybe you could get the tape or something and kind of go over it. We learned that it's probably Solomon that's speaking, the king, the son of David. And he basically said, everything is a waste of time. Everything is worthless. Everything is really empty. And a lot of people who read this say, oh man, Solomon was way off base. Those people, I don't know where they live. Solomon really hit it right on the head. You just couldn't have said it better yourself, that it's all for nothing. So we go into chapter 2, keeping that beautiful thought in mind. And he says this, chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Solomon says this to us in chapter 2, beginning in chapter 2. He says, you know, I set out to find something that was really worthwhile on this planet, on this earth. I thought, I'm going to look and I'm going to find out. I'm just going to see. Is there something worthwhile down here? Something that really is good. And he says, so the first thing I did is I sought after pleasure. I mean, that's what everybody wants, to feel good, be happy, you know, have a great time. So I sought after pleasure. And he said, you know, before I go into detail, let me just tell you, it was a complete waste of time. Pleasure is a waste of time, he says. It's empty. You get nothing from it in the long run. It's just, there it is. Now, Solomon was the king. Kings had, they had access to a lot of things. A king, most of the time, would have a court jester. That would be the stand-up comic that would come in if the king was feeling a little low, or maybe if he had to adjudicate some really ugly, ugly cases, then he'd call for the court jester, and the court jester would tell him, you know, jokes and try to get him to smile, you know. So he says, laughter, I said of laughter, it is mad. It's okay to laugh, and that's great. You know, we learned that laughter is a, like medicine. But he says, you know, you can't laugh all the time, and there's not a lot to it. That's what he's talking about. So he had a court jester kind of made him laugh. Or maybe he tried to watch some of the so-called sitcoms, you know, that were on television during his time. You know, those, if you've watched those, I've only seen like previews, and the previews are pitiful. They're not funny. Although the laugh track, you know, there are laugh tracks in the background to make you laugh. And you're thinking, that's stupid. And I think that's kind of what Solomon decided that it was all about. He's just, it's mad. It's just stupid. It's not funny at all, as a matter of fact. And so he asks, he says, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Here's what's going on. He says, in other words, here's the question. What does pleasure accomplish? Really? What does it accomplish? And he answers it in one word. And I mean, we all know it, we just don't talk about it. Nothing. In the long run, it accomplished nothing. Those of you who have really had a great time, maybe a few weekends ago, you had just had a great time, but then what had to happen? Well, you had to get up and go back to work. And even though it was a great time, you're going, man, I wish we had the money. We could go do that again. Or I can't wait for this weekend. I'm going to go do that to myself again. But it never lasts. It's kind of useless. It's empty. But we keep going at it, don't we? And Solomon says, I'm not that stupid. I mean, God gave me a little bit of wisdom, and it was worldly wisdom. And he says, I'm telling you right now, there's no need to keep doing it over and over. I tried it. It's useless. Why would I do it for the next 13 or 14 or 15 years? You know, Solomon, when he talked about pleasures, you know, a lot of people, they say, I'm going to go try sex. And when you do that, with all the diseases going around, you're going to be sorry. Well, Solomon, this guy had to be, I mean, he could have been a counselor on the subject because he had 700 wives. and 300 concubines, or as the kindergartners say, 300 porcupines. Same idea. I'm sure it was a sticky situation. 1,000 women at his call. And what did he say? What did he say about pleasure and everything that goes with it? It's a waste of time. There's nothing to it. You go, no. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is. He says, I sought. So in other words, what does pleasure accomplish? He answers it in one word, basically, nothing. I sought in mine heart, verse 3, to give myself to wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Interesting thinking here. In his quest to find something that might be worthwhile here under the sun, on the earth, he says, I saw a lot of people drinking. And so he says, oh, I'll give it a shot. Let's just try that. But Solomon was not a fool. Remember, he was wise. And he even mentions that here in verse 3. He says he tried wine. He tried alcohol. But, he says, not blindly or uncontrolled excess. His language is this, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom. In other words, I didn't get in there and just get snot-slinging drunk. I just thought, all right, the people are going out on weekends, having a few drinks. They get a little tipsy. They're looking a little weird. They're hanging out with one another. They're laughing, and let's check it out. Let's just see. Maybe that's it. Maybe that is something that's actually good on this planet. He says, but I didn't get out of control. My mind's still guiding me with wisdom. In other words, you hear that, you drinkers? My mind's still guiding me with wisdom. In other words, basically, the idea he's saying here is just thinking, I'll cheer myself with a little bit of wine. Meaning, just get a little happy. You've heard that one, haven't you? A little tipsy, maybe. He says, not to throw my wisdom in the trash, but just to embrace a little bit of stupidity, a little bit of folly, is what verse 3 says. Just try that. Just to see if pleasure seeking is really the way to go down here. I've tried other things, and it's useless. I thought I'd give that a shot. So he went club hopping, is what he was doing. He would just go hang out there, going around all the different places. That way he could, if he went to the right spots, he could see the movie stars, watch them crawl home. You know, when people step on their tongues because they've been drinking too much, you watch all that. And he says he found that. All this, waiting for the weekend to go hang out at this club or at that club. And, maybe you can watch the celebrities come in and out. Maybe just a few drinks with dinner as you're down at the local pub and you see your friends. He says, I tried that. What did he decide? It's another complete waste of time. Listen, everybody. God is not even here. Notice this. God will be mentioned finally at the end of the chapter. He says, I'm just checking it out. Just kind of seeing what it's like. Now, some of you are fools. I love you. God bless you. But you won't even listen to Solomon. I mean, never mind listening to the Word of God. But here Solomon says, here's what I tried. Let me tell you what I've done. Here's what I did. And I'm going to tell you, before you even go out and do it yourself, don't waste your money. Don't waste your time. I'm telling you now, empty, useless, wasted. How many people listen to this wise, wise king? They always seem to have to find it out themselves, don't they? A friend of mine, I've told you about him. He was a biker. He used to run with the Hells Angels and a couple other groups, the Huns, a few other groups. He accepted the Lord. And he would come to church and he'd say, where you been? Well, I got arrested. Had to do 30 days in jail. And he'd say, Pastor Bob, I got to quit drinking. I'm allergic to alcohol. I say, are you? He says, yeah. Every time I drink, I break out in handcuffs. It took him a while, but he was finally growing up to see, this is useless. This is a waste of my time. This is getting me nowhere that everything else was. I mean, no, nothing was getting me anywhere. I've been doing this. This is getting me nowhere. That's what Solomon's telling you. This will get you nowhere. I tried it, Solomon says, get you nowhere. Verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made the pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. So Solomon says, you know, partying on the weekends, you know, club hopping, that. He said, that's not it. It's a waste. It's useless. It's empty. Pleasures of all kinds, they didn't work. I mean, you know, they're gone as quick as they're there, and so it doesn't work. So he says, you know, I got into real estate. There's got to be something. I mean, you know, there's something that's mature. It's solid. It's always going to be there. And they keep telling me, you know, they make a lot of things, but get into real estate because they quit making that. They're not making that anymore. You can sell real estate and you can become rich. Well, he said, I got into real estate. Maybe that's the way to make something really count in my life, to make something really work on this planet, to have something and to do something really worthwhile. Build lots of houses. And then, you know, plant vineyards. Become a land baron. And of course, he was rich, so he wouldn't have been a slumlord. All his stuff that was for rent or for sale was really nice stuff, you know. Overseeing, basically, your own little world. He built, of course, we know this from history. He says it, but we know it from history also. He built parks. He built waterways, irrigation projects. He got into real estate big time. And he says, you know, that wasn't it either. He says, I got me servants and maidens. That would be female servants. And I had servants born in my house. In other words, I had so many servants that they were even having children. I mean, servants were actually born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. He had a house full of servants. He owned a cattle ranch, a huge cattle ranch, just out of the city limits, just outside of Jerusalem. You can see parts of that. If you go to Jerusalem today, they show you where some of the troughs were and etc. of Solomon's big cattle ranch. And Solomon was, greater and richer than all the ranchers in the area. Matter of fact, than all the ranchers in the land. And than all the ranchers that had come before him. This guy literally was a multi-billionaire back then. Nowadays, everybody's doing it. But he was a multi-billionaire when it was unheard of and unthinkable. Huge money. He says, you know, I gathered me also silver and gold. This is the billionaire part. And the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So there you go. Here's a multi-billionaire. The guy is filthy rich. He had it all. And he brought in the biggest acts in the business. I mean, he could afford them all. Concerts, nearly every night. He had front row center seats right there. Not only his favorites, but anybody, all the popular musicians of his day, all the rock bands, everybody, they all played for Solomon. Every kind of entertainment that he wanted. He was so rich. Listen, his life was whatever he wanted it to be. If he decided tomorrow night that he wanted a concert and have the McDavids there, they would show up. He'd bring them. I mean, he'd get all the big Las Vegas acts. He had it all. And he could afford it all. He says it. Look at verse 9. I was great. and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Not only was I rich, but I was smart. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He says this, he could afford to have anything that his heart desired, and he had anything his heart desired. Everything I wanted, I got. Every kind of entertainment, his life was whatever he wanted to be. He says, I was the richest that there has ever been, richer than any that had come before him. Again, Solomon was literally a multi-billionaire, and this was over 3,000 years ago. Guy had money. He says this, I did what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it. If I saw it and I liked it, I bought it. He had the best clothes that were made, the latest fashions from Paris, or wherever the latest fashions came from in those days, Turkey. Cereal way, you know. He had all the best foods brought in from around the world. He could eat anything he wanted, whenever he wanted. Also, records show that Solomon had them figure out a way to bring snow from Mount Hermon. During the summer, they would bring snow from Mount Hermon so that he could have cold drinks in the summer. The guy had it all. He had the best entertainment money could buy. He had a huge plasma screen TV. Huge. Had a stereo surround sound throughout his entire house. CDs, DVDs, MP3s, LMNOPs. He had them. Digital cameras. Latest and the fastest and the most powerful computer. Internet. He invented it probably. Him and Al Gore. He said, what did I have? I had everything I wanted. If I wanted it, I had it. Verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had worked or wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. What a statement. Now, think about what he just said about himself. I've got everything. I'm the smartest, the wisest, the richest. I've got it all. Whatever I want, I get it. I've got it all. And he says this. It was useless. It was a waste of my time. Okay, wouldn't you think a person in that position would be happy? How many times, don't raise your hand or say it out loud. How many times have you thought, wouldn't it be nice, just for maybe a day, to have enough money to buy what I want? Just to go out and to buy. Wouldn't that be nice? Or, you know, to have enough money to get a house, a nice house, and pay for it, and then have no pay. Wouldn't that be nice? And, of course, we take it further. We take it to extremes. Wouldn't it be nice to win the lottery? Nobody wants to win a lottery that's a million. What fool would settle for that? If it's not 78 million or more, we're not into it. And then we hear things like this. I mean, this is where we've come to. Here, this is sad. It's embarrassing. But here's where we've come to. Someone wins the lottery for $483 million, and we're feeling sorry for them that they're only going to get half of that. Because taxes and we go, really? See, after taxes, and you want to, well, we'll take it in cash. Oh, well, then that cuts it down really pretty far. Really? How much are you going to get? I think we're only going to get $200 million. Oh, I wouldn't do it, man. I'd hold out. Are you crazy? Because you know with $200 million, You could buy anything you wanted. You could have your TVs. You could do anything you wanted, anytime you wanted. And Solomon says, well, I had a lot more than you're ever going to have. You could win $200 million, and he says, I had way more than that. He says, listen to me. I'm telling you, been there, done that, bought the T-shirt. And it was a waste of my time. It was useless. And I know in the back of your heart, you're going, I don't believe. It's true. It is true. He says, it's all worth nothing. It's all emptiness. It's all waste. It's all worthless. Life is empty. You'd think a person like that would be happy, completely at peace, just lay back and enjoy easy street. Wouldn't you think so? Just lay back and say, man, I've got it all together. I don't have to work. I can get up and go to work if I want. If I don't have a job, I could make one. I'll buy a company and give myself a raise and just go and just do this. And things that life would be could not better be. And you'd think that this person would be happy. You know what he says? It was like chasing the wind, trying to catch the wind. Think about that. You try and catch the wind. You open the door, it's really windy outside. You ever try and catch wind? Go home and try that. Don't let anybody see you, because they'll call 911 and then don't mention my name. You try to catch the wind. Go outside and hold a box up. And with the wind blowing hard, catch wind, close the box, and then look inside and see what you've got. First of all, you'll have nothing, and second of all, it won't be there, won't even be moving. Huh. You can't catch it. Wouldn't you think that person would be happy? Isn't it amazing that the suicide rate is much higher among the rich than among the bums on the street? Don't you find that intriguing, that the rich kill themselves much more often than the poor? And you would think, you got everything. And if you don't have it, you can go get it. And Solomon says, but I'm telling you guys, I've been there. I've done that. And it's empty. It's useless. There's nothing about it. It's worth nothing. It's all empty. And look how many people will not take his word for it. This is in God's word for a reason. We should learn something. Solomon says, don't bother. I did. I'm the richest that there's ever been. Solomon's basically looking at you and I from a worldly point of view and saying, you're not even near where I was. And I tried it and it didn't work for me. You aren't even close. You're wasting your time trying it yourself because it's not going to work for you either. But we don't listen, do we? People have to do it their way. They have to see for themselves, don't they? Without God, they have to learn for themselves that without God, life is completely worthless. Empty, useless. You buy a computer, and you got a good deal. Man, you saved $100 or $200. You got rebates. You got all this. And you walked out of the store. What I like about computer sales is great because they'll say, this model's on sale because the new one is coming out next month. So we'll give you a steal of a deal on it. You buy it. You walk out the door. They put the new one coming out next month on the shelf already. And there it is. And now yours is outdated. And if you wanted to upgrade it, they say, oh, you can't. That's the old model. Old, I've had it 30 days. Well, yeah, it's not upgradable. But we can sell you another one. Well, I got to have the best. Look at verse 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? See his point? He says it, and I've said it before, but I'll repeat it because this is what the verse says. I've done it all. I've seen it all. I've been there, done that, and I bought the T-shirt. And he says, none of you, no one can live it up more than I have lived it up. So take my word for it and don't waste your time. It is empty. It is useless. You young people, talk to the people that are older. Just talk to them. And then you'd be surprised. After they've been around this world for a while, and especially walking with the Lord, they'll tell you, nothing really matters but what God is doing. Nothing really matters. Jesus says this because he knows all that Solomon is learning. Jesus already knows. He's God. And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, don't store up your treasures on earth, because moths will eat it. Thieves will steal it. Or it'll be corrupted and wasted somehow. Store up your treasures in heaven, because moths can't get to that. Thieves can't break in. No corruption can ever happen. You've really got something if you begin to store up eternally. Anything you store up here, anything, is useless. That's what Solomon's learning. Again, we go back to, that's why Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. Because nothing that matters can really be done without him. But we have to learn it the hard way. Verse 13 says, then I saw that wisdom exceeds or excels folly. You would think that was obvious, but he just wants you to know that he tried stupidity. And he thinks wisdom is better than stupidity is what he's saying here. I saw that wisdom exceeds or excelleth folly as far as light excels darkness. I've learned that there's more advantage in wisdom than there is in stupidity, he says, in foolishness. Wisdom helped him much more than just living his days in any old way that he chose. How many of us have lived foolish lives? You can look back on maybe your younger days and you can go, I was a complete idiot. And you're learning now, man, I haven't grown much, but I've grown a little bit, and I don't do that now. And you know what? What a waste that was. You know, wisdom is much better than folly. When you really get right down to it, Solomon says. Wisdom at least helped him enjoy some of the pleasures that he experienced. Folly basically was a waste of everything. Foolishness. The wise man, verse 14, the wise man's eyes are in his head. Where are yours? That'll let you know whether you're wise or not. The wise man's eyes are in his head. But the fool walks in darkness, and I myself perceived also that one event happens to them all. Then said I in my heart, as it happens to the fool, so it happens even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart, this is also vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever, seeing that which now is in the days to come shall be forgotten, and how dieth the wise man as a fool. Or it's a question, I guess the way you'd say it, and how does the wise man die? Just like the fool. You've probably heard the expression, verses 14 through 16, you've probably heard the expression, use your head. Haven't you heard that? Same kind of an expression is the wise man's eyes are in his head. Use your head. My dad used to tell us, use your head beside something as a hat rack or beside something as an ear spacer. Use your head. God gave you a brain. It may not be the most solid of, others may have a more solid one, but still, you got one. And so use that, he says. Use your eyes. Pay attention. You can avoid some dangers if you use your head. If you look ahead and see, if you just think, I'm going to do this. And young people are notorious. I mean, all of us do, but young people especially, because they know they can never be hurt and they can never die. So young people will do things. You'll say to them, what were you thinking when you jumped off the roof like that? Didn't you know it was far? Well, I didn't think. When I first got my first pair of glasses, they're clear on the top, but then there's other parts that help me read. You just can't see the lines. And so Robin had given to me, he said, now just wear them and practice using them. And so I was practicing using them over there in the other building. This building hadn't been built yet. Over in the other building, and we had some trouble on the roof, so I climbed up on the roof. And Clayton and I were working something out. We finally got it done. And so, you know, being healthy, strong, you know, I go down the ladder, face, forward. So I'm going, you shouldn't do that. And I knew it, but I'm going down, just walking down like that and holding on. And I looked down. I thought, the ground's not that far. But I forgot that, you know, that there's a little bit of magnification to this. So I jumped about 14 feet, thinking I was going to jump maybe 6 feet. You know, and Clayton goes, you okay? I said, I don't know. He said, what were you thinking? Just like you would say to any stupid kid, why did you cut all your hair up? Why did you set this on fire? What were you thinking? Solomon says it. That's what he's saying. Solomon's saying, the wise man's eyes are in his head. If you'll think, you won't do these kinds of things. And the fool walks around in complete darkness, just jumps, thinking the ground is right there. He says, don't be that way. The fool's blind to it and gets himself into trouble constantly, just like stumbling around in the dark. But he brings up a real up kind of guy. He says, you know, we all share the same fate, wise and fools alike. As it happens to the fool, so it's going to happen to me. Solomon says, I'm wise. He's not real shy when it comes to it. I'm pretty wise, he says. You know, but whatever happens to the fool is going to happen. What's he talking about? Death. We're all going to die, he says. And not just die, but we're going to be forgotten. Of course, he mentioned that in chapter 1. So basically, this may be a funny way to say it, but don't let all your wisdom and education go to your head. Because we're all going to be finished, whether we were wise or whether we were fools. Solomon gives us a kind of a clear warning. Verse 17, therefore, because of that, because I know I'm going to die just like the fool, even though I was wise, I'm going to die just like the fool. Therefore, I hated life. Because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Empty, meaningless. With all the work I've done over all the years of time, what really has been accomplished, Solomon says. What's been accomplished of all the things I've done? I'm going to die just like the fool's going to die. We're both going to be gone. Nobody's going to remember we were around. You know, I don't like to think that way. He says we share the same fate. Then he says, you know, we work and we work and we work and we work. And it all turns out to be for nothing. This guy's kind of a bummer, isn't he? And he says it so right on, too. What good is it? What good is it? He says, I hate it. I just hate this. It's empty. It's useless. It's meaningless. You think about that. You and I know that what makes this whole life meaningful is Jesus. And you and I know, those that are truly born again, that if we didn't have the Lord, we could honestly sit there and go, this is really useless. Because I do this, and it won't last. Weather will destroy it. If you build something, depending upon how you build it, weather, suicide bombers, somebody, it's going to get wrecked up. Nothing really lasts. And he says, I've worked and I've worked and I've worked and I've worked. He says, I hate this. It's empty. It's useless. So reading about Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison, I was thinking about that because he's a guy that we don't know him, but man, everybody knows his name. You know, he developed the electric light bulb and the record player. For those of you who are under 30, a thing that's almost like a CD, only a little bigger and it's dark and much more collectible. As a matter of fact, all of our modern-day recording instruments of all sorts come from his research and his ideas. What do you know about him? Nothing. Except the little bit you might have heard. Because, see, he was a wise guy. But he died just like the fools of his time. And they're gone. And, oh, yeah, he's kind of got a little bit of a legacy. But you don't really know much about him. He died just like everyone else. You know, it is said that while he was alive, he spent almost his entire adult life in his lab. His life was miserable. It wasn't this rich guy, all bed of roses. Almost everything he invented didn't work. Almost everything he tested and tried failed. He had such severe insomnia that he could only sleep for 10 to 15 to 20 minutes at a time. So he would have a little cot in his lab, and he would sleep for 10 minutes and work. He worked day and night through most of his adult life. And most everything he tried didn't work. His life was not the kind of life that you and I would want for ourselves, because it was no fun at all. Most of his experiments failed. And you think, boy, oh boy, I hope he knew the Lord. To live that kind of an existence, useless, empty, and then to head to hell. You just hope that he knew the Lord. And that's what Solomon, that's what his point here. Without God, all this is nothing. Verse 18 says, yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This is also a waste of time and emptiness. He's thinking ahead. He said, you know, okay, I've been thinking about it. I'm going to die. Just like the fool, I'm going to die. People are going to forget what I am, who I am. And he says, I've worked hard, built lots of houses, built lots of, you know, remember, he mentioned all that. I've done a lot of things. I've developed a whole bunch of properties. I put together a really nice, up-to-date palace here. And I can't take any of it with me. Every bit that I have done, everything that I have, I'm leaving here. I'm going on, but I have to leave it here. And he says, I'm going to leave it to whoever comes along. Have you ever thought about that? When you and I leave here, we're going to leave everything. We're going to leave it to whoever comes along. He says, I don't know who's coming. You see, one of his sons will take the throne. And the guy is going to be a complete idiot. And I think Solomon knows it. He says, the guy who I'm going to leave this with might be a wise guy, might be a fool. He says, we're not quite sure. Who knows what'll happen? You know, maybe he plans for this son to take it, and that son takes it. And you've seen things like that, and then there's murders, and you see how the kingdom is going to split and go to the north and south, and all the northern kings are going to be bad kings. And oh, it's a mess. So all that he developed, all that he worked out, all that, he says, I'm leaving it to whoever comes after me. What good is all of this going to do for me and for you? You can save, you can save, you can save. You can build and you can build. You can collect, you can collect, you can earn. And what have you got? Remember the old song, country song? I think he said it tongue in cheek to say that life's a bummer. But I think he's really got the truth. It says, work your fingers to the bone, and what do you get? Bony fingers. That's what Solomon is saying. I'm going to leave this here, and the person that's coming along is going to take it and do something with it. Will they use it rightly, he says? Will they be wise with what I've done or built up? Will they waste it? Mr. John Harvard, who was the founder of Harvard University. Maybe you know the history of Harvard. It's not that old. And you realize, or you've read about him, he was a true believer. Mr. Harvard was a true believer. That was a Christian school. He left a large sum of money specifically for the furtherance of the gospel. when he left this planet, he left that money for the furtherance of the gospel, and it was never used for that. It was used to make the college bigger. Right now, you go to that university, and you won't find a lot of Christian anything in it or within 50 feet of its walls. In other words, he left it. And once he was gone, it was out of his hands. Whatever happened to it, happened to it. That's what Solomon is saying. Some people say to me this, well, I'm just saving up. I'm gonna make sure I get a lot and accumulate because I'm going to leave it for my kids. And then they say, well, except for my one son, because he's in the drugs pretty heavy, and so I'm trying to work the will out. So I don't want to leave him out completely, but I don't want to leave him. You know, you can hear Solomon in this. I'm leaving this, and who's going to get it? Who's going to take care of this ranch? I've really built this thing up big. Now, one of the guys, if my son gets all this, he'll trash the thing. You know, and that's what Solomon's saying. I don't know really who's going to get it. Plus, if his family gets murdered or some of those things like happens to king's kids, gets himself into debt. You can see now, when you take a look at our society, how we build up and we build up and we build up. And you've seen, oh, story after story, people dying. Even though in their will it said this, somehow the state was able to get a hold of that. There was something wrong or this wasn't covered. So now you see Christians spending huge money trying to figure out how to protect what they have when they're gone. And Jesus said this. This is very clever. God, he knows. Send it on ahead. That amazes me. Verse 20, therefore, I went about to cause my heart to despair of all labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that has not labored therein shall he leave it for his portion. This is also vanity and great evil. He's in verses 20, 21, he is saying, I figure to lose most of what I've worked hard for as soon as it's passed on to someone else from my hands. And he realizes it will be passed on from his hands. He cannot live forever and he can't take it with him. So he says, I'm kind of figuring, he says, and it's bumming me. Because he says, I went about to cause my heart to despair. Because it'll be passed on to someone else. Verse 22. For what has man of all his labor and of the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows, his travail grief. Yea, his heart takes not rest in the night. This is also vanity. This life, he says, is really a lot of pain. A lot of painful labor. It's empty. And you know, when Solomon says that, you think back to Genesis chapter 3, when God says to Eve, what have you done? Adam, where are you? Well, I was hiding because I heard your voice and I knew I was naked. How did you know you were naked? Who told you? Have you eaten of the fruit of the tree? Well, the woman you gave me, she gave me to eat. He looked at the woman and he says an interesting question. He asks her, what have you done? Eve, use your head. Now think, what have you done? And she said, it was my fault. I got tricked. The serpent tricked me. Go back and read Genesis chapter 3 again really slowly. And so the Lord says, starting with you, snake, the devil, here's the curse. Isn't it interesting, or at least amazing to us, how we believe that we can get around this curse somehow? Somehow we'll be the exception to the rule. We're going to get around this curse. Solomon's explaining the curse to us. This is all without God. This is all without God. And without God, life is meaningless. Take a look at the millions, billions of people who are living today, who are living a meaningless existence. No hope, no guarantees of any eternal life. Just get up, go to work, go back. It's a meaningless existence. It's got to be depressing. And that's what Solomon says. It's depressing to me. Verse 24. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. Now he mentions God. He's starting to see the bottom line. Oh, he's not finished, and you're going to see some amazing lessons from Solomon, King Solomon, through the rest of the book. But so now he's thinking about God. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who can hasten thereunto, more than I? For God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he gives travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. He concludes, if you're living just for yourself, it always comes to nothing. It leads to bitterness and emptiness in your own heart. Solomon says, you know, bottom line, it's because of God, that we can even work. God even provides our work. God created Adam, created Eve. He planted a garden eastward in Eden, the Bible says, and he placed man there. So now you got man and woman there, and he gave them a job. He gave them work to do. That's what Solomon is saying. It's because of God we work. He realizes, bottom line, is all of this is in God's hands. It's all up to the Lord. God is in complete control. If we'll listen to God, he says, trust in God. God gives to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. How do you become good in God's sight? Well, there is none righteous, no, not one. How do we become good in his sight? We must be born again. At the point you ask Jesus Christ into your heart, he becomes your Lord and your Savior, my Lord and my Savior. At that point, we are completely righteous in God's eyes. We're good. You're a good woman. You're a good man. And he begins to give you the peace. Didn't Jesus promise that? The joy that passes all understanding. Even when your head's not sure what's going to happen, your heart knows God's going to handle it still. That's what Solomon is telling you. He says God's got it in control. And I think he's kind of glad, because up to this point, it is kind of a bummer. Go back and read through it. A lot of people say, as I mentioned last week, we shouldn't study Ecclesiastes. It's too negative. And it's all stuff that's without God. Well, listen, that's basically all life. Until I came to Jesus Christ, all my life was without God. And I learned slowly, I will have nothing to show for it at the end, even as a Christian, if I don't begin now to serve the Lord with my time, my treasure, and my talent. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I'm about. So money takes on a different meaning to us. We still need it. Our society is set up where you need money. If you need electricity, probably have to pay for it. If you need natural gas, probably have to pay for it. If you need, in other words, we're not going to get by without it. And notice how God is providing for us and continues to do that. And sometimes we forget he is, and we start to think, I'm doing this myself. Once you start to think that, you're going to go, man, it's a waste of time. You get up, go to work, go home. Get up, go to work, go home. And then your life is over. Then you die. But you see, that's without God. With Jesus Christ in the picture, he begins to use you. You say, I don't have much money. I give you, Lord, I don't have this much money. I give you $10. God blesses it. He multiplies it. It begins to reach literally thousands on the radio or whatever he does with it. You say, I'm not really talented, but Lord, I'm going to give you my time. I'll just give you of my time. and God begins to bless, and that time is multiplied, and his kingdom is furthered. It's amazing that the simple little things that we realize aren't much in us, God takes and uses. Without God, just read what it's like, in case you've forgotten. Let's bow our heads.